Brother David will never be accused of taking a seat of honor that doesn't belong to him. I have to drag him up here every time he is preaching. So, but at least he's on the front pew, so I better get him up here before he moves to the back. But I want to explain just for a second before Brother David comes up what we're doing. We're going through the seven signs that the Apostle John recorded in his gospel that point to who Jesus is. And most of you know that there are seven I Am statements and there are seven signs or miracles that Jesus performed. And we have gone through all but one. And like John did and like Jesus did, I guess you could say we're saving the best for last. And so Brother David has the great honor of preaching one of the most fun sermons, I think, to preach, the resurrection of Lazarus. And so, Brother David, if you would come bless us.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. I appreciate that. I would rather Pastor Paul be preaching this sermon, I tell you. But since he has asked me, I'm going to do the best I can with God's help. If you have your Bibles today, if you would turn in the book of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, we'll read this section and then I'll present what I believe is what God is trying to say, what he has placed on my heart. It said, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Martha and her Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them.' After saying this, he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.' Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. But For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she sent and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep, so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus, looking upward, and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hand and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. My beginning statement about this section, which is the seventh sign in John, is the resurrection of Lazarus. And it's interesting that basically Jesus was told about Lazarus' illness. The sister sent word to Jesus and told him that Lazarus was ill. Now, they were friends. They were all friends. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. You would think that the main thing would be that he would come, you know, when he found out that Lazarus was sick, and come and heal him. Some people would say, well, that's kind of strange, because why didn't Jesus just go and heal him? Why did he wait? Well, there was a reason. There was a bigger purpose than just healing a sick man. God was going to be glorified through this miracle that Jesus would perform. And this is what was interesting to me, that, like I said, we would expect, I'm sure most of us would expect it, that Jesus would have went on and healed him. But he had a bigger purpose in mind, and that's what we're going to be talking about. All right? Now, Jesus promised that Lazarus' sickness would not end in death, but would be used to glorify God, and that Jesus would be glorified through this upcoming miracle. This is found in verses 1 through 4. So Jesus had a reason not going to Bethany at the time that he was requested to come. Now, Jesus' reaction. When he was told, or when he was asked by Mary and Martha to come to heal her brother, their brother, what happened? 2 days he stayed in the place where he was. So basically there was a reason for Jesus staying there, and that is because he was waiting for Lazarus to die. Now it sounds cruel when you hear that, because you're thinking, if you were my friend, I would want you to come and heal me. But Jesus, again, you have to look at the bigger picture here. Jesus had a miracle that he was going to glorify God with. And it happened to be that Lazarus would have to die for this to occur. We'll see this as we go on. All right. Then after Jesus remained 2 days, you know, at the place where he was, then he goes into Judea and then to Bethany. He goes on to Bethany. That's where he's going to. Now, the fact was, he did this because he wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead. Not that he wanted Lazarus to die, but that he had a great ministry to perform. in front of a lot of people here. He was not trying to do it for people's sake, but to glorify God. Okay? Let's look at our section here. It says that the disciples, Jesus promises to awaken Lazarus. Verse 11. He said, I'm going. This is what Jesus said. I'm going to awaken Lazarus out of his sleep. He said, he's asleep. That's what Jesus said. He's asleep, but I'm going to awaken him out of his sleep. Well, the disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus had said in verse 12. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They thought he was asleep. They thought he was sleeping, resting. So this is what happened. They said, well, if he's asleep, Lord, just let him sleep and he'll be all right. But they didn't understand what Jesus had said. Then finally, in verses 13 to 15, Jesus explained clearly that Lazarus was what? Dead. He was physically dead. He was not physically asleep. He was physically dead. All right. Now, he was telling them that he was going basically to raise Lazarus from death to life. Even though they may not have understood it fully, but that's what he was telling them. I want you to look at verse 16 in this chapter. It says, it talks about Thomas. When I read this, I was fascinated by it because I thought about Thomas, and we always hear about Thomas. He was the one that doubted. You've always heard that about doubting Thomas. Thomas was the one that said, I will not believe in Jesus unless I feel, you know, the prints in his hand and in his feet, and I put my hand in his side. He said, if I don't do this, I will not believe. But notice what Thomas does. Thomas, you know, basically they, you know, he knew that basically Jesus' life was in danger if he went back to Judea. He knew that their, you know, their lives were in danger. But what did Thomas do? He rallied the disciples. He even said, he told them, he said, let us return with him, with Jesus. Let us return to Judea. He said, even if it means death, he's literally saying, let us return with him that we may die with him. Now let me tell you what. I don't know about you, but that's a great sign of courage. He was rallying the disciples to return with Jesus to even face death. If that was what God's will was, he was willing to go. Now that, to me, is a great statement about Thomas. Yes, Thomas did make a mistake. Yeah, Thomas did doubt. But he had a lot of courage too. According to verse 16, we see that. Now, Jesus returns into the area of Judea. So what does Martha do? First thing she does, this is in verse 17 through 27. Martha comes to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Understandable. If Jesus had returned 2 days earlier, he wouldn't have died. He would have been healed. No problem. But then this great miracle that was going to occur would not have happened. Would not have happened. All right. Jesus replied to Martha was this. He said, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. He's going to be raised from death to life. But in verse 24, Martha misunderstands what Jesus is talking about. She thinks, oh yeah, well yeah, I know my brother's going to be raised on that general resurrection in the last day. All people will be raised on that last day. She believed this. But she didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, verse 25 and 26, Jesus' explanation of it was, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall live and never die. Amen. Do you believe this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Matter of fact, through Jesus is the power of resurrection. That basically it'll be through Jesus that we'll be resurrected from death to life. He could raise a dead body, but guess what? He could transform a dead spirit as well. Amen. He has the power of resurrection of the body,
But he also has the transforming power of the Spirit. He could transform our dead spirits, our dead nature to a nature, that is of God. He can change our lives. All right. Now, notice in verse 27, Martha's confession of faith in Jesus. She said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" And then she said, "I know that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. I know who you are. I know you are the very one that basically came into the world that was prophesied in the Word of God. I know you're who you say you are. And I believe it." And that's what we have to do. That's what we did today when we come. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, we're acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And basically when we do that, guess what? We are born again. We are born of the Spirit of God. We are born again. We are children of God because of our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Now, okay. So, okay. Jesus converses with Mary. Now he's talked to Martha. Now he tells Martha, "Go and get Mary. Bring her to me. Tell her to come and see me." So now Mary comes. Okay. Martha lets Mary know that Jesus wants to see her. And then what happens when Mary comes to Jesus? It says she knelt at his feet, basically in an act of homage or devotion to Jesus. She loved Jesus. She believed in Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But what was the first thing that Mary said to Jesus? She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Just like Mary, just like Martha, Mary didn't understand the full picture. She didn't see the big picture. She saw just, yes, my brother is dead. Yes, that is true. Her brother was dead. But see, the great thing about this is that God was going to do this wondrous miracle that they probably were not even expecting. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, that's what... Then it says that he went with them. He went with the two, or he saw Mary and the people that were with Mary. They were sorrowing. They were crying. Why were they sorrow? Why were they sorrowful? Why were they crying? Well, first of all, they had lost their brother. Would you not cry if you lost your brother or your sister or your mother or your father? Of course. We shed tears because there is a loss. We have lost someone who is near and dear to us. Nothing wrong with that. Some people will say, they'll tell you today, that it's wrong to cry at a funeral. I'm sitting here thinking, how foolish. Jesus cried at Lazarus' grave. He cried. He wept with those. He felt what they were feeling. He felt that loss. He felt that, what death had taken away from them. He felt that. He wept with them. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who mourn. So, if someone tells you that it's wrong to weep at a grave or at a burial site, at a funeral, they're absolutely wrong because Jesus wept. And He is our example. He wept. Now, but there was also certain people there that saw Jesus weeping and wondered, they said, "Oh, look how Jesus loved Lazarus." Yes, Jesus loved Lazarus. But then he said something about, they said, "But could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, could he have not kept this man from dying?" Again, the same idea comes across. They were absolutely saying that it was, he could have kept him from dying. But yet, God's purposes would not have been made manifest. See, they didn't understand. Again, the big picture, they didn't understand it. But now, Jesus, finally, they go to the tomb. He's fixing to raise Lazarus from death to life. He commanded the stone of the tomb to be removed. So they know something's coming up. I mean, they would have to. He says, "Remove the stone from the tomb." Now notice what happened. Martha's reply to this. He said, "Lord, You don't want to remove that stone because he's been in that tomb for 4 days. He is dead. He's probably, his body is decaying. It's decomposing. There's an odor there. What did Jesus tell her? He said, if you believe, you will see what? The glory of God. You're going to see it if you just believe. And he was talking not just to Martha and Mary. He was talking to the whole group. If they would do, if they would just believe, they were going to see how God was going to work in their life. Then what happens? Jesus prays. Jesus prays. He prayed to the Father. He prayed for this reason. He prayed that the people that were there would believe. That's what he prayed that prayer out loud for. So those who were there around would believe in him. And then what happens? He called Lazarus forth from the grave. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came out of that grave. Now he still was bound. He still was bound. He had the gray clothes on. He had the thing over his face. What did Jesus tell him? He said, unbind him and let him go. He's alive. He's alive. The interesting thing about that is that Jesus, when he died, he came out of his gray clothes. They were still in that grave. He didn't have to be unbound. He came right out of them. And he was raised from death to life. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus' resurrection and that Lazarus' resurrection is that when Lazarus was resurrected, guess what? He died again. He grew old and he went through, life as we do, and he died again. But when Jesus was raised from death to life, when he came out of that tomb, he was immortal. He would never die again. He would never die again. And that's the one thing we can remember without a shadow of a doubt, that God has given Jesus the power to raise us up. So when somebody tells you, I hope they don't tell you this, but if somebody tells you that basically this is the end, no. Do not believe that. It's a lie. It is not. Jesus is alive. And because he lives, guess what? We will live as well.
Amen.
Now, what should we learn from the lesson concerning the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead? This, that Jesus has the power over life and death, and that through belief and trust in Jesus as the Christ, we can have the assurance of everlasting life, beginning with the new birth and continuing throughout all eternity. We have life in Jesus Christ. But I would like to ask you something before I end this little talk or sermon, whatever you'd like to call it. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you turned your life over to Christ today? I want you to think about that very carefully, because the decision you make today, either for or against Jesus Christ, either if you either accept him or you reject him, can have great consequences in your life today. Not only today, but throughout eternity. Please do not let another day slip by without making a decision for Christ today. Because we don't know when God may call us home and say, it's time. Are we ready to receive him? Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Don't let another day slip by. Please, I implore you, in the name of Jesus, come to Christ today and receive him this day. Amen.
Amen.